Ryan Reynolds here from Mint Mobile. With the price of just about everything going up during inflation, we thought we'd bring our prices down. So to help us, we brought in a reverse auctioneer, which is apparently a thing.
Mint Mobile Unlimited Premium Wireless. I bet you get 30, 30, I bet you get 30, I bet you get 20, 20, 20, I bet you get 20, 20, I bet you get 15, 15, 15, 15, just $15 a month, sold.
Give it a try at mintmobile.com/switch.
$45 up front for 3 months plus taxes and fees. Promo rate for new customers for limited time. Unlimited more than 40 gigabytes per month. Slows full terms at mintmobile.com.
Since 2013, Bombas has donated over 100 million socks, underwear, and T-shirts to those facing homelessness. If we counted those on air, this ad would last over 1,157 days. But if we counted the time it takes to make a donation possible, it would take just a few clicks. Because every time you make a purchase, Bombas donates an item to someone who needs it.
Go to bombas.com/ACAST and use code ACAST for 20% off your first purchase. That's bombas.com/ACAST, code ACAST.
This is Internet Marketing. Brought to you by Site Visibility at sitevisibility.co.uk. This is Internet Marketing. Now, before we start today, we'd like to encourage anyone looking for help with their digital marketing to get in touch with Site Visibility. Whether you have a burning digital marketing question or you're looking for an agency to work with, they'd love to hear from you. Give them a call, +44 1273 733 433, or you can fill out the form at sitevisibility.co.uk/contact. Alternatively, you can talk to either Scott or Sean via the live chat function on the site. They'd be more than happy to help. Now, today I'm joined by Dixon Jones, Global Ambassador at Majestic.com, plus other things. Dixon, how are you?
Oh, I'm very well. How are you?
I'm very, very well. And if I'm not mistaken, well, let's say if I'm not mistaken, because we had a pre-chat before I pressed record, you're in the Snowdonia National Park, not standing outside. You're in a building.
I'm actually right on the edge of it, in a little town called Bala, which is kind of like the gateway to Snowdonia. So I can look out onto the park from my back window. We've got a little cottage down here, nice to get away.
Yeah. This is going to sound like a tourist advert for Wales, but I think we have to emphasise to the world, because we have a global audience, all three of them, and Wales is absolutely majestic and beautiful, isn't it?
Oh, it is. It's a fantastic place. And the great thing about it becoming a tourist advert is I can put the whole thing on expenses now, so that's great.
That's right, yes. And I have to ask, what's the weather doing?
It's pouring with rain. Come today. It is absolutely soaking.
Yes. One thing we have to say about Wales, it's a little bit like Ireland, you see, because it's got the Atlantic to the left of it, where most of the winds come from. And it's, in some ways, a bit like Ireland. It's the first bit of raised land that the air hits when it comes off the Atlantic.
Yeah, and they're big mountains. Well, they're not big mountains like the Rockies, but they're big enough to, you know.
They're fairly lumpy, aren't they? And, of course, all that moist air goes, oh, I've been raised up quite high. I'll just dump all the water I've got. Never mind.
That's right.
It is very nice. Okay, less about the weather and meteorology. Tell us a little bit about yourself and Majestic and some of the things that you're doing now.
Yeah, sure. So I've been doing SEO and internet marketing consulting less of the consulting after around about 10 years. But I started in 98, 99 and set up an agency, Receptional, which I no longer have any part in. But my main, you know, people know me for being the marketing director or CMO of Majestic, which I did for best part of 10 years. I've now pulled back from that. I still wave the flag for Majestic at conferences and that kind of thing, but just got involved in a new business with a guy called Fred Laurent, who's in France, very talented SEO expert and programmer. Always back the programmers, and so helping him to get inlinks.net off the ground, which maybe we'll talk about as well.
Yeah. Let's start off, let's talk about Majestic, because I know you come away from it slightly, but just take us from, because I know a lot of people have heard of Majestic, we'll put a link in the show notes, but just for the newbies, just remind us what Majestic does from a fairly basic level, and then we'll drill down a wee
bit. Sure. So Majestic is an index of the internet. So it crawls the internet just like Google does, or DuckDuckGo does, or actually DuckDuckGo doesn't do a lot of crawling. But anyway, it crawls the internet. But instead of concentrating on the on-page content, it more or less concentrates on the backlink map. So it looks at links into any web page, But it has to do that by, you know, crawling the whole web and then inverting the whole index. So it looks at all the links and then inverts them. So instead of looking at the number of links that go out of a web page, it's looking at the links that come into a web page. And so, you know, it's a pretty big index of the internet, but, you know, and it's got things you can use it as a search engine, but it's not what it's designed to do. And that allows you to really pick out what is happening on the internet and why one website or one web page is getting traffic and another one isn't. And then more recently, that's then turned into a thing called Link Context, which actually we launched at Brighton, in fact, which now breaks the web page down into 40 different segments, and it actually looks at where on the page the links are as well, and how many other links are competing in that area as well. So it gets very, very granular as well, because people were saying, oh, well, this page has got a PageRank, Page Authority, TrustFlow, whatever score you're going to use of 42, but the link's rubbish because it's in a footer and it's, you know, got 200,000 other links on the same page and things. So we've tried to bring that out and visualize that very differently. Yeah. So it's going quite well. We got two Queen's Awards. I went to go and see Buckingham Palace on the back of that. So that was quite fun.
Oh, wow.
To see the Queen.
Was she impressed? Was one impressed?
She just spent the whole night with me, nothing to do with the other 500 people in the room as well.
I'm not sure if we should edit that bit out, actually.
Yeah, no, that's absolutely fine. No. I spoke to other royals. It was it was a great day, but I didn't do an awful lot of speaking to the Queen, I will confess.
Wow. Now, so how do people use Majestic then? Is it a case of, like, they put their site up and they do their best and then they use Majestic to see how many links are coming in? Is that basically how they work? Or is it a bit more subtle than that?
It is any site. So you can put in, so I can put in sitevisibility.co.uk and see all of the links to site visibility. In fact, I was doing that for the other day, actually. As an SEO I know quite well, and he was on your show, actually, and one of his best links was actually from sitevisibility.co.uk, because he'd done a podcast on your website, and the link was there, and I could demonstrate that was a new way of spotting that your link, which was a good one, was standing out from a lot of other ones, because it was in the body of the text and a do follow link and stood out for him.
Yeah.
And that was obviously because he did a good, you know, a good podcast and it made sense to have a link there. So it's kind of a great tool for having a look at your competitors. It's a good tool for understanding where your own share of voice is coming from. But the real magic in there is that Google obviously uses links to rank and to evaluate websites and web pages and for discovery. So knowing that link graph or having an independent link graph is very, very powerful for SEOs. And a lot of the technologies use the backbone of Majestic in their APIs as well.
Brilliant. Yes, because there is an API, isn't there? Just skipping over the API, because I actually didn't realize just how many web pages there were on the internet. And I was watching you speak, I think it was at a TED conference, on watching a video. I wasn't actually there, I was watching a video of you speak.
Oh, yeah.
It's something like, is it 400 billion stars in our Milky Way, which I assume means the galaxy? But there are 916 billion individual web pages. That's mind-blowing.
If you go to the bottom of Majestic.com's page, I can tell you right now, assuming that the information is still there, somewhere on the page, they've changed the web page. So at the moment, in the historic index, there are 8.485 billion, so 8.5 trillion URLs that Majestic has seen from crawling the internet, which is, yeah, it's something like, you know, it's 10 times or 20 times more than the number of stars in the Milky Way or something like that. Yeah.
So let me get this right. For every star in the Milky Way, in our Milky Way, Majestic has crawled how many
URLs? I think about 20 web pages. So yeah,
it's been busy, hasn't it?
Yeah, it has over the years. Yeah, and it goes. I'm down. The problem is, of course, some of these web pages are fairly, they disappear. So some of them aren't there anymore, and that can be a problem. So every crawler has a challenge of how much of their resources do they dedicate to crawling new content versus how much do they dedicate to recrawling existing content. And that's an equation that every crawler has to deal with, really. And when you start out, you just try and crawl everything you can. And then you realize that actually the important pages are getting updated and you've got to go back and see those again.
Yeah.
But ultimately, even Google only has a limited crawl budget, because even if theirs was unlimited, the bandwidth of the person that's got the site is limited. So there are limits to what you can do.
Hi, this is Craig Robinson from Ways to Win. And support for this podcast comes from Invesco QQQ, the official ETF of the NCAA. The future isn't scary. Not realizing its potential, however, could be. Just like on the recruiting trail, I've seen potential come in many forms as a coach. Learn more at Invesco.com/QQQ. Let's rethink possibility. Invesco Distributors, Inc.
Hiring for your small business? If you're not looking for professionals on LinkedIn, you're looking in the wrong place. That's like looking for your car keys in a fish tank. LinkedIn helps you hire professionals you can't find anywhere else, even those who aren't actively searching for a new job but might be open to the perfect role. In a given month, over 70% of LinkedIn users don't even visit other leading job sites. So start looking in the right place. With LinkedIn, you can hire professionals like a professional. Post your free job on linkedin.com/people today.
There's never been a faster or easier way to start your weight loss journey than with PlushCare. PlushCare accepts most insurance plans and gives you online access to board-certified physicians who can prescribe FDA-approved weight loss medications like Wegovy and Zepbound for those who qualify. Take charge of your health and speak with a board-certified physician about a weight loss plan that's right for you. Get started today at PlushCare.com/weight loss. That's PlushCare.com/weight loss. PlushCare.com/weight loss.
So tell us about this new company that you've started, which is called inlinks.net.
Inlinks.net. And I shout out to Dom Hodgson, by the way, because he pointed out that I didn't, that no one had taken the .co.uk, and I better take it before he does. So thank you for that, Dom. He just told me that yesterday. So inlinks.net looks at websites in a different way. So instead of looking at links coming into a website, what we're doing is we're semantically analyzing websites and then building internal links on the fly to help Google understand and humans to understand what pages are related to which entities. So entities are Google's newer way of understanding content on the internet. They've come up with, you know, somebody's going to shoot me for saying this wrong, but they've decided, in my opinion anyway, they've decided that one way to look at the web is to look at all the web pages and find out what the content is on all those web pages. But as we've just established, it's 8.5 trillion of them. That's a lot of records. So so another way of looking at the world's information is to say, right, the information in the internet, if we treat it like an encyclopedia and we say, right, we need some information on, you know, Buckingham Palace or on site links or on Brighton SEO or on, you know, all these items, there's actually only, you know, tens or hundreds of millions of things that people care about in the world. And it's a lot less than 8.4 trillion.
Yeah.
So if they organize the world's information that way, moving from strings to things, then they end up with less records. And in theory, it then becomes more scalable. That means, however, that web pages are less important in that structure, in that there could be, you know, 10,000 web pages on how to tie a bow tie, but Google only needs to tell the user about one of them. So it needs to try and find out, you know, an authoritative one on how to tie a bow tie, and it really doesn't need to tell anybody about the rest of the pages on the internet, which gives us a dilemma. But as SEOs, our job is to make our site or our customer site's content prominent. So we then need to help Google understand that our page is not only about bow ties, but the best page in the world about bow ties, because bow ties is a thing, you know, it's designed as an entity. So it builds internal links to those web pages. So as you're going around a web page on, you know, on clothing, for example, then every time it mentions bow ties, it'll link to the bow tie page, or every time it, you know, talks about, you know, knots, it may tie to go to the bow tie page, or whatever it may be that's related. And it'll also write schema, which is really Google's shortcut code for tying those entities to Google's knowledge graph, as it's called.
Yeah.
And also when you're trying to write new content, instead of trying to tell you, you know, what keywords to put in your content, it'll do a brief of what entities and ideas are semantically close to the one that you're trying to optimize for. So it's a different way of looking at search engine optimization that I don't think any other tool really has done, because they've never really started from the ground up with the semantic approach. Did that make sense, Andy?
It did make sense. It sounds like as you were talking, it made me think of the 80-20 rule, that like maybe is it 20% of the stuff on the internet is actually really good and relevant. And actually, it's probably a bigger proportion than that, isn't it? And 80% isn't. It's sorting the wheat from the chaff. Have I got the right? I'm just trying to wonder
Although I just do have some stats on that, and well over 99% of the content on the internet, at least in Majestic score, has zero trust flaw citation. But it's absolutely useless. The vast majority of it is useless. You're right. But you're right. There is a lot of wheat of chaff and not a lot of wheat on the internet.
Yes, very agricultural sort of analogy there. So how do people use this new site of yours?
Okay, so we've tried to help the onboarding. So we've actually given everybody, a free account. So you can analyze up to 20 pages on your website for free.
Yeah.
And so what you do, you just put in a website, and then it gives you an opportunity to sign up for an account, or you can just analyze that page anyway. But if you sign up for a free account, it'll then pull in what we think are the 20 strongest web pages and analyze those web pages on the fly for you. And it'll go through all those web pages, extract all the entities on all of the web pages, and tabulate that.
Nice.
So we've then got a table of all the entities on those 20 web pages. We then will make some attempt at associating the most important pages with the most important topics. So if there's an obvious connection, we'll make that association or that presumption.
Yeah.
But then we need the user, this isn't a get out of jail free card. The user needs to be an SEO and needs to try and understand semantics and entities, because they're going to need to go and check and verify that the entities and topics that we think each page is about is correct, and they need to confirm that association. Once we've done that confirmation, then it'll go through the system and build internal links. You end up having to put one line of JavaScript in the footer of your website, because it builds all that stuff through JavaScript. So one of the good things is that Google now has really cracked JavaScript crawling, and that allows us a whole new window of SEO opportunity, because you can put that code in using Tag Manager if you want to, Google Tag Manager. Mm. But putting it to the footer then allows us to control it. And then once you've got the hang of those 20 pages, you can then expand and you can go up to, I think we're starting to give people up to 10,000 pages that they could if they wanted to buy it. So it is, you can then carry on for free with those pages, or in $30 a month increments, you can start increasing your analysis units or pages that you analyze. It's got the more that you analyze, the more Google InLinks can build an internal link network, and the more it can build a schema for your web pages, and the more it can tell Google's knowledge graph what content is relevant to which bits of the knowledge graph.
Nice. We'll put a link to InLinks. Try saying that fast. We'll put a link to InLinks.net in the show notes.
That might be InLinks' first link, by the way. So
the first link to InLinks.
If Google Gary could not ban me for that link, that would be great.
Right. So you've spoken at Brighton SEO, haven't you? Is it more than once? I'm trying to remember now. You spoke at least once, haven't you?
I'm pretty sure that I was in the room above the pub. I think me and Kelvin were in the pub for the very first ever Brighton, which didn't involve any speaking. It just involved more drinking, really. I was on the main stage when it was in the Corn Exchange, and I've spoken there three or four times, actually.
Yeah.
But although I've probably spoken there a little bit more, but sometimes it's in the sort of sponsored track for Majestic, where Majestic's sponsoring events and stuff like that. So that doesn't really count.
Okay.
Once on the main stage, and then a couple of other times as well.
If anybody fancies a trip to Vegas, because you're going to be speaking, if I'm not mistaken, is this your next talk at PubCon in Las Vegas in the US of A?
I think by the time this comes out, this will be exactly the time that my talk is in PubCon. So I talk nearly every year at PubCon. I was PubCon stemmed out of a site called Webmaster World. And I was one of the moderators on Webmaster World. So I've got this in with Brett, really. And if I'm not speaking, I'm moderating a Webmaster World. I'm actually also doing the training, the link building training on the Monday as well. So just like Brighton have training on the sort of the first day of the conference or the day before the conference, Brighton do, PubCon does as well. So I'm doing link training on the Monday.
Yeah.
I'm speaking on the Tuesday or Wednesday, I think, and so by the time this comes out, hopefully, you know,
yeah, because this is due to come out on the 10th of October. So I think you will have spoken. So does that mean you can give us a brief preview on what you're going to be talking about?
Yes,
what you have just spoken about by the time our listeners listen to this.
So at Brighton and at the last PubCon, I spoke about how PageRank really works, and it really went through the maths of the original PageRank algorithm, which lots of people liked. I think it was a sort of black and white. If you didn't want to know how the maths works and it blew your mind, then it wasn't the right thing for you. But if you did, then you really enjoyed it. So this one's moving on to the idea of a reasonable surfer and the fact that not all links on a page are created equal. Mm. And Google has a patent, which no one really talks about because no one's been able to really measure it anyway, about, you know, people are more likely that they should consider a link in the middle of the page or above the fold as more important than one, you know, below the fold perhaps, and that sort of thing. And if there's 1,000 links on the page, then, you know, the page is less important than, you know, if there's, you know, only 200 links on the page. And this idea of a reasonable surfer I'm going to be talking about as well, and the fact that we can now, using the link context stuff at Majestic, actually you can make some kind of assertions as to what's a good link and what's a bad link, and then use some of the eye tracking studies around to sit there and give some indication of what's good and what's bad in a link, and then also that idea of entities coming, bringing that in as well, and the fact that people are moving around and following a thought process rather than following, you know, the navigational structure that a user might want on a website.
That's fantastic. So we have spoken about quite a few things today. It's been a very sort of chatty show today. Have you got a nice nugget for our audience to take away and think about? You can choose anything from our conversation today, or it may not even have been in the conversation. It's completely up to you.
Pay attention to link context. I think that putting a link on a page when it's not in context is actually potentially going to do your site more harm than good, especially as Google moves towards entities and starts to understand that its knowledge graph better and better. So if you have a link on a baby shower page and you link through to mountains in Wales, this may actually start to suggest, it could do weird things like suggest that mountains in Wales are small because babies are small. It's these kind of associations start to build up in Google's knowledge AI. So obviously Google would consider that a mistake if that's the decision it made. But I think pay attention to link context, because I think that is the future for links rather than link quantity.
Dixon Jones, thank you so much for coming on. How can our listeners find out more about you and more about InLinks?
Start at dixonjones.com or go to inlinks.net. You can also get hold of me at Dixon_Jones on Twitter.
Fantastic. Thank you very much. And thank you for listening, everyone. Show notes are in the usual place, sitevisibility.co.uk/IM podcast. If you're enjoying the show, please leave us a review. That would be great. Questions and suggestions, the email is podcast@sitevisibility.co.uk. You can tweet at sitevisibility. We have a site visibility group on LinkedIn. So that's all from me, Andy. And it's all from Dixon.
Bye.
Thanks, Dixon. And we'll see you next time on Internet Marketing.
Small details or big surfaces, tight corners or odd shapes, flat, rounded, textured, or tall. Whatever your next project, there's a spray paint pattern that's just right. Because Rust-Oleum's new Custom Spray 5-in-1 gives you control with 5 different spray patterns. So you can tackle nooks, crannies, edges, and curves without worrying about drips, runs, uneven coverage, or anything else. Custom Spray 5-in-1. Only from Rust-Oleum.
As humans, we're naturally driven by the search for better. But when it comes to hiring, the best way to search for a candidate isn't to search at all. Don't search, match with Indeed. When I was looking to hire someone, it was so slow and overwhelming. I wish I had used Indeed. If you need to hire, you need Indeed. Indeed is your matching and hiring platform, with over 350 million global monthly visitors according to Indeed data, and a matching engine that helps you find quality candidates fast. Ditch the busy work. Use Indeed for scheduling, screening, and messaging so you can connect with candidates faster. And Indeed doesn't just help you hire faster. 93% of employers agree Indeed delivers the highest quality matches compared to other job sites, according to a recent Indeed survey. And listeners of this show will get a $75 sponsored job credit to get your jobs more visibility at Indeed.com/podcast. That's Indeed.com/podcast. Terms and conditions apply.